We shall sing God's praise together with the following numbers. Metrical Psalm 110. The Lord did say unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. Then hymn 299. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Then Psalm 71 and verses 14 to 18. But I, with expectation, will hope continually, and yet with praises more and more, I will thee magnify. And then hymn 561. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Let us come before the Lord in prayer together. O Lord, we draw near, and we know that thou art the God of heaven and earth, the most high, the most glorious, and the most gracious, as we come to thee in the name of thy beloved Son, whom thou dost ever delight in. But we who trust in him with all our hearts, we are in union with him. And so we thank thee as we come. Thou seest that we are one with Jesus, and his righteousness our righteousness, and his name upon us. And thus we are accepted in him, lovingly received, welcomed at thy throne. How we praise thee and thank thee. We stand on mercy's ground. We stand on redemption ground, blood besprinkled. We glory in the cross, our Redeemer's precious blood that he shed for us, and his perfect spotless righteousness, which is our best robe. Oh, bless us in him, and receive us graciously, love us freely, for thine anger is turned away, and thou art toward us in favour, goodwill and peace. May the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts seal and confirm these things to us in our experience. And may we go upon the testimony of thy word that teaches us these things. And may we have the answering experience to know and feel that these things are true of us. But even if we do not feel them, to believe them, Lord, is the glorious thing. And we know that it is not how we feel, it is how thou dost regard us. Bless us now in thy presence. Help us to worship, to pray, to hear thy word. Speak to us in it. Make it truly thy word in its truth and application. And grant thee, O Lord, that we might be profited in our souls, in our lives, might rejoice in it, walk it out in practical Christian living day by day. Oh, that we might be those who adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Bless us as a church fellowship, how we could long to be together as we used to be, to see each other's faces, to be that assembling of ourselves together. But Lord, we do it remotely, and yet we pray we may do it really and in spirit, and feel that we are a part of thee, a part of one another. Make this as real as can be through thy blessing, and we pray thee to remember us each and every one in these trying times, Lord. Help us day by day. Remember those who live alone and those, Lord, who have health problems, and do grant thy gracious protection. And those, Lord, in trouble and difficulties, wilt thou draw especially near and be their helper. Bless mums with small children and help them together. Be with us as families, friends, in all our homes, in all the restrictions, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt make it up to us in wonderful ways. But we thank thee there is no restriction in fellowship and being with thee. Oh, bless these times and grant that they might be for our spiritual good. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt especially remember Elsie, who has lost Trevor last week. Do comfort her heart, be very close to her, and Susan and Alan and Ellen. And we thank thee that dear Trevor has been taken from the church below, promoted to the church above. And oh, how we thank thee, he is infinitely more happy than we are. Oh Lord, but comfort those who mourn and who are left behind. We pray for our elder John Lowry, that thou wilt bless him today and give him peace of mind and comfort, and draw very close and be real to him. Uphold Sylvia and the family for another day. And Lord, we pray for our nation, that thou wilt speak, O God, even today. We know thy word is going forth online. And we pray that in the mysterious workings of thy providence and thy grace, that many shall be drawn to hear the truth. And Lord, that there might be many real conversions, and there may be many disillusioned, disaffected, confused Christians brought to sound preaching and rejoicing for the consolation of thy truth and the right ways of the Lord. We pray for our Prime Minister and government. We long for some acknowledgement of God, some mention of prayer. O Lord, bring these things to pass. Make thyself known. Break through, O God, upon their minds. And we pray, O God, direct them in all the important decisions to be made. And O Lord, we pray thee that thou wilt in mercy gradually deliver us, return things to some normality, soon as it can be. O Lord, fulfill thy purposes, glorify thy name. Hear our prayer now, pardon all our latest sins, cover us with blood-bought mercy, and speak peace to our conscience and joy to our hearts as we ask our prayer through Jesus Christ and for the glory of thy great name. Amen. Now we read together from Psalm 71, commencing at verse 16. Psalm 71, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. This psalm is probably by David, although there is no title that tells us so. However, reading it through is almost touching upon David's life story at certain points, the history of which we have, of course, in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings chapter 1, and 1 Chronicles. In the psalm, David refers to his birth and early life, verse 6, By thee I have been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. And you have his confidence in God from verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and so on. And then in verse 10 following, we have a reference to his many persecutions and trials. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, and so on. Then toward the end of the psalm, you have David's psalmody, verse 23. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. And then references to him in old age when he wrote this psalm. Verse 9, mine enemies speak against me. Sorry, verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. And so this is a psalm that is adapted to all periods and conditions of human life. And you will notice that it is a prayer all the way through, from beginning to end. And as part of this prayer, we have David's words in verse 16, which is our text this morning. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. You'll notice a double resolve. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And that double resolve where David says of God, I will, to God in prayer, I will. It reminds us of the great change that conversion makes. The grace of God has given us a new I will in reference to God. An I will that we never had before. Before we were converted, it was I will not. The Bible calls it self-willed. We were going away from God in the opposite direction, contrary to him, but now willing in the day of his power, David, the man after God's own heart, and we too, if we are converted, We are new creatures. Old things pass away. All things are become new. And one of these is expressed in something like this: I will, in reference to God. So what is David resolving here? And what is this that can be our double resolve as well? Well, I suggest that he is describing himself in two ways, and these two ways belong to every true believer. He is first of all a justified man. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And secondly, he is a fortified man. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Let's look first of all then at David, a justified man. I will make mention of thy righteousness. Now this word righteousness, it first of all describes a quality in God's character. Righteousness. Everything that is infinitely right, in conformity to his own law. And this perfection is God himself. What about us? Because you see, we need this righteousness. If he will accept us, and if we will be allowed into heaven. Psalm 11 and verse 7 says this: the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And it stands to reason, doesn't it, that the opposite, unrighteousness, is an abomination to him. Cannot come anywhere near him. Certainly will not be allowed in that holy place, heaven, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The fact of the matter is, dear friends, by nature we are not righteous. Romans 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. There you have it, you see. Against God, ungodliness, without righteousness, unrighteousness. We're exposed to God's judgment, and he will damn us in hell forever and ever if we are not saved out of this. And so this is our hopeless case. And there is only one way, dear friends. This situation can be changed. And this is where the gospel comes in. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. But David is able to make it not only in an admiring way, but in a possessing way. Because you see, this is what has become true of every believer in Jesus Christ. It's a God-provided righteousness which we have in his beloved Son. And we are counted righteous in Christ. That same God-pleasing righteousness that is his attribute, his character, and his delight. How did this happen? Well, you see, the Bible makes it clear. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place. By his death, he suffered the penalty of the law which we had broken. By his life, he obeyed the precepts of that law that we had transgressed and never obeyed. And so by his death, but also by his life, he has accomplished a complete and perfect obedience, righteousness. Not for himself, because he is all righteousness as God his Father is. But he did it as a public person for each one of his people. And so each one of us can say in the words of Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, the Lord our righteousness, union with Christ, which happens when we believe and when we are joined to him. Union with Christ means that he is ours and his righteousness is ours. Romans 3 and verse 22, it's called the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God's providing unto all and upon all who believe. If you're a believer in Jesus, that righteousness is yours. God counts it yours, imputes it to you, as if you had never sinned and as if you had always obeyed. That is justification through faith in Christ alone. And it means that in this righteousness called in the Bible the wedding garment, the best robe, the garments of salvation, by this, dear friends, we stand before God. It's a standing and a status that God gives us so that he views us as he views his own Son, all perfect righteousness. And it means, of course, that heaven is open to us now. We come before God in it with acceptance. We shall go to heaven in it with acceptance. Titus 3 and verse 7, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a glory and a wonder. Bunyan expresses it like this, thinking of Christ the righteous one now in heaven. He wrote, indeed, this is one of the greatest mysteries in the world, namely, that a righteousness that resides with a person in heaven should justify me, a sinner, on earth. Mystery. But mystery revealed in the gospel and delighted in and rejoiced in by every believing sinner. My dear friend, this is the only way you will ever come into this righteousness and have a standing and acceptance with God, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your righteousness. Make sure that your trust is in him. Because you see, in David's words here, this is all his trust. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. It's emphatic, isn't it? No mention of his own righteousness. If he did, what would it be? Isaiah 64 verse 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God has branded our vain attempts to try to obey and please God and merit his favor as useless, just splendid sins, filthy rags. Well, we should keep silent about that. Not worth mentioning. I will make mention of thy righteousness, the provision that God has made in our justification. Christ, our righteousness before God, even of thine only. The Apostle Paul makes mention of it very emphatically in Philippians chapter 3. And he was a man who fancied he'd had his own righteousness to trust in and to boast of. But at his conversion, he found that he had to repent of his own righteousness as much as repent of his sin. Philippians 3 verse 7, what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss. Got rid of those filthy rags of his own righteousness. And then verse 9. And be found in him. You see? In Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, or faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God, his provision, by faith. Faith in Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. And Paul there mentions the only righteousness God will accept. What a change! This is our position. And you'll notice he doesn't mention here his actual righteousness. What do I mean by that? Thy righteousness, even thine only. Well, there is, as we've said, God's imputed righteousness through Christ giving us that standing and status. But there is also our actual righteousness, which describes our state or condition. It's alluded to in James 5 and verse 16, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means being upright and obedient and holy. It's a practical righteousness that we seek and God works in us in our lives. And so imputed righteousness is justification. Actual or imparted righteousness is sanctification. And it's important to make the distinction, dear friends. Our justification is a standing. Our sanctification is a state. Now, what does David mention here? He mentions not his imparted or actual righteousness. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only, meaning what's imputed to him for his standing. And it reminds us, and we must say this over and over again, that the ground of our assurance before God is justification, is the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, our standing in God's sight, in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. That's where you must look for your comfort. Don't look at your imparted or actual righteousness. You'll find no comfort, no encouragement there. It's partial. God is still working it in us. It's sanctification, it's progressive. That is not the basis of our acceptance with God. That is not the ground of our comfort. It's our standing in the Redeemer. So make mention, dear friends, of justification through faith in Christ alone, and glory in it, and come before God thankfully and know that he accepts you in that. You see, we must mention it to ourselves, like Toplady expresses it in his hymn. In him, Christ, we have a righteousness by God himself approved, our rock, our sure foundation this, which never can be moved. My dear friend, if you look at yourself and your Christian progress and how you've done and how you are, that's shifting, sinking sand. The rock which never can be moved is justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ, our standing before God, which never changes, always the same. And God is ever toward us in favor, goodwill, and blessing as he sees no less than the merit and beauty of his Son upon us. So David then, as a justified man, are you justified through faith in Christ? Secondly, a fortified man. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And you see, this is what knowing that you're justified does. It puts a spring in your step, encourages you to go on with God. You're clothed in the righteousness of the Redeemer, and you can go in the strength of that. Isaiah 45, verse 24, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. You see, you're no longer striving and struggling to earn favour with God. All your strength now can be given to going on with God and walking with him. Hebrews 4 verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." No more working for justification. No more striving, trying to earn favour with God, expending strength and energy and never knowing whether it's enough. All that's over with. You've entered into rest. And now you can cheerfully, with all the strength that God gives you, go on with him. Oh, joy of the justified. Oh, joy of the free. And it's a spur to right living and obedience, isn't it? I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Not to earn favour with God, for our Lord has earned all the favour I need. But going in his strength to please him and to pursue that practical, actual obedience, which I long to do and long to be conformed to his laws and his precepts. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And the blessing is in the hungering and the thirsting and the pursuing it. And when we do fail and come short and sin, there is forgiveness, there is the cleansing of the precious blood, there is the restoration so that we carry on. But it's justification by imputed righteousness that keeps us and ever holds us in favour. So it's a spur to right living. And this, of course, is the answer to those who say, "Oh, well, if you're put right with God, if your sins are forgiven and you're accepted for doing nothing, because it's all done for you, it means then you can go and live as you like, because it doesn't matter. Everything's all right." No, no. That's to make a capital mistake. Those whom God justifies by his Spirit in them, he sanctifies. And part of that is the gratitude for justification and the great incentive to pursue the equivalent in practical and real and actual obedience so that God is glorified. Every truly justified sinner, everyone rejoicing in a righteousness not their own, that has come from outside and made theirs in Christ, loves God and longs to please him actually, not for anything saving, but for God's well-deserved glory. And you see, it's an incentive also to face each day, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord God, making mention of his righteousness. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." It's interesting that in our verse, Psalm 71 verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." That is literally in the plural. I will go in the strengths of the Lord God. All the days, all the different kinds of days, there will be the strengths for every one of them all through. Each new day, new strength. It's important for us in these days, isn't it, when we are so affected by the lockdown and are confined largely to home, can't go out much, and each day very much the same, at least in our circumstances, but yet one day can be more encouraging, another day can be a real trial. But you see, as thy days, so shall God's strength be to you. He'll work it in you. He'll impart it to you. You can go, and as you go into the day, so the strength of the Lord God will come to you. And strengths of the Lord God, especially the bad days, the low, depressing days, the trying days, they'll be the strength for those as well as every other day. And so he says to you, arise, let us go hence in my strength. And as we go, he is there. As we go forward, strength comes to us. Don't sit down in discouragement. Don't be passive. Don't waste the hours. Go and do what's right, what falls to you to do, and you'll find you'll not be on your own. You'll not have to rely on your own strength, which is perfect weakness, but in the strength that God will give you. Each new task, sometimes it's hard to face particular tasks, isn't it? But whatever God calls you to do, he will enable you for. It will be like Gideon in Judges 6 and verse 14. Go in this thy might, have I not commanded thee? See, as Gideon feeling so weak, trembling, retiring, not wanting to contemplate delivering Israel from the Midianites. No, you go, and you'll find the might will be yours. I am commanding you. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Do that, and he will do his part. And also, dear friends, we must mention this, that we go in the strength of the Lord God to meet the devil. And this is how you meet him. In the strength of the Lord God, making mention of his righteousness and his only. Because justification by faith is the supreme antidote to the devil's accusations and temptations. Ephesians 6, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, part of the armor of a Roman soldier, covered the central part of his body where the vital organs were to protect against spear thrust and sword and arrow and things. And so the breastplate of righteousness, it protects us, particularly our hearts, when the devil accuses us, when the fiery darts come toward us. How can he say anything against us when you've got Romans 8 and verse 33? Who is he that, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The fiery dart cannot reach you, cannot pierce you and wound you and bring you down and destroy your comfort and assurance, because it's God who is pleased with this, his own justification. He sets you right before him in the righteousness of Christ, and the devil cannot say that you're not a Christian. He cannot accuse you of sins and things like that. It's all covered by a God-pleasing righteousness. You can turn to him and say, yes, all the things you say about me are true. I have done this and that. I am a sinner. I am unworthy. But God sees me in his dear Son. And all those other things I repent of and I'm forgiven for. And I'm given more grace concerning to be different. But my standing is in the Lord, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. My dear friend, you can bask in the favor of God and need not take any notice of the devil who tries to shake your confidence and your assurance. And what about the lures of the devil in his temptations? What are those baits that dangle before us? Those blandishments that he tries to get us to sin with. What are they compared with the knowledge that we are in Christ accepted? We have access to the Father. We stand high in God's favour. We have been raised higher than Adam in his original righteousness, because that was a creature righteousness before he fell. We've been raised higher than the unfallen angels, because that is a created righteousness in these unfallen angels. This righteousness is that of the God-man, the Son of God, perfect, spotless, glorious, beautiful. The breastplate of righteousness is spoken there for our protection. The best robe, or the wedding garment, describes it as the ornament for beauty. Looked at either way, dear friends, we are all fair in the sight of heaven. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So in Watts's words, arise, my soul, arise, and tread the tempter down. My captain leads me forth to conquest and a crown. A feeble saint shall win the day, though death and hell obstruct the way. I will go in the strength of the Lord God, the strength of that, his righteousness, mine in Christ. Even of that only. And as we close, finally, when he calls us away from this life, I will go. I can go. As an unjustified sinner in my sins, I dare not go. But in a righteousness that opens heaven to me, I will go. A sweet resignation, because we know that whom he justified, them he also glorified. And it's as if God says concerning his Son to us, wilt thou go with this man? Yes, I will go. Go to be with the Lord. Go in that righteousness complete that will take me through death and into heaven and into everlasting glory. There can be a firmness, a resolve about this. I will. I remember a certain friend, a dear friend, and he suffered from a form of cancer. And he lived for a number of years, but finally his condition became terminal, and the day came, and another friend who wrote about this in the obituary describes it, how that the ambulance came for him to collect him from his home, to take him to hospital. And it was understood that this would be for the end. And the friend writing about this man describes how he climbed into the ambulance and sat down on the seat there. And he sort of bent forward and stiffened himself in a resolve. And yet, there wasn't fear. There was a gracious determination. He was knowing what he was going to, but also knowing where he was going. That was an impressive thing. The last sight of him in that state of resolve and of determination to answer the call, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. That's where he is now, in heaven. That's where we all hope to be in Christ, and most surely will, when his call comes, if he does not return before. A justified man, a fortified man, may it be so, for the glory of his name. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, we come before thee, and we thank thee that we can say, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Transport us in spirit, we pray, and grant us that we might feel how blessed we are in our acceptance with thee, and heaven already open to us, and our dear representative there occupying our place for us until he calls us home to be with him where he is, to see him in all his glory, and to share in that glory. Grant, O Lord, this Sabbath day that we might be in the Spirit, our affections on things above, and may we rejoice for the consolation. Hear our prayer, and grant us each thy covenant mercy and special blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.